North Rock Podcast.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of things going on this morning, a lot of stuff to do. Same amount of time, but just a lot to do it in. We have our Honduras team is back from Honduras. If you were here last week, you know that we prayed for them and had a chance to lift them up. And if you remember last week, a couple of them were pretty sick, and there was some stuff going on with their team. But they're back, and God worked it all out, and they have amazing stories to tell. Couple of them that are going to come up and share with us. Before we do that, I just want to welcome any first-time visitors that are here. If you're here for the very first time, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. If you'd fill that out for us, we just want to know that you've been here with us and gives us an opportunity to serve you and gives us an opportunity to you'll receive a phone call this week from somebody just asking you just how your experience was here in any way that we can serve you and help you better. So fill that out for us. Take it to this desk right out here. And I believe we have a gift for you out there. I'm not sure about that. I think we do. If not, we'll find something to give you. I don't know what it'll be, but we'll give you something. Don't worry. But do that as soon as the service is done. A couple announcements. We have a new season of Echo coming up. If any of you that have been around these last 4 years, we started something called ELN at our church. It's an immersion discipleship program for young people. And we're going on our fourth year of doing this. It's a fantastic thing that we do. One of the things that we do to make sure that they can focus completely on God during these 9 months, during this year of their lives, is we provide host homes for them. So if anybody is interested in being a host home, what you do is you open up your home for 9 months for one student to come and live with you. And they are a blessing to you. You are a blessing to them. It's a really wonderful thing. The people that have opened up their homes really have no regrets. Maybe a couple of regrets, but hardly any regrets. Just from a couple of people. Just the ones that had Elijah in their house. But that was it. I'm joking. I'm kind of not joking, am I? I'm just kidding. But anyways, that's right. So this is a wonderful thing. It's a great way to invest in a young person. We always talk about it, don't we? It's a different thing to talk about it than it is to actually do something. So this is a great way to invest in young people. If you're interested, talk to Tom Edwards. He's right over here. Wave, Tom. Everybody knows Tom Edwards. Talk to him. If you can't talk to him personally, email him, tom@northrockchurch.com. That's tom@northrockchurch.com. Even if you just have questions or if you're at all, even in the least bit interested, talk to Tom, and he'll be able to help you out with that. And then one last announcement before the team comes up and shares, or a couple of the members of the team come up and share. We have there's a lunch coming up for Tiffany. Tiffany Mares, many of you know Tiffany. It's been 4 years coming now that she's going to go and be a missionary. 4 years ago, I talked to her, and she says, I'm supposed to go and be a missionary somewhere. I just don't know where yet. And so what we said was, why don't you be a missionary here in Thornton in the meantime, and we will pray and be a part of this with you, and then when God shows you, you'll know. And last year when we went on the trip to Honduras, I saw Tiffany, and I saw her in a new light. She came alive in Honduras, and God, I just knew that that's where she was going to go and be a missionary. So when we got back from that trip, I said to Tiffany, I said, you're going to Honduras as a missionary, aren't you? And she said, yes, I am. And so that's when it all began, and it's not happening immediately, but she is beginning the preparation for that. So she'd like to invite you to a meal on Sunday, July 20th, $5 per plate. It helps with the moving costs. But it's just it's an opportunity for you to get information on what she's doing, how you can support her. She'll need support from people in our church to be able to go and do this. Missionaries raise their own support to go and do what God's called them to do. And listen, I believe in Tiffany. We believe in Tiffany so much. She is a powerful woman of God, and it's incredible to see how God has used her and how God's going to continue to use her in the future. So come and find out more on that day. $5 for lunch, that's really cheap. You can't even get a footlong for $5 at Subway, right? So come and be a part of that. All right, Tiffany, bring a couple people up from your team. We have a couple people from each service that are going to come up and share. I think Susan's coming. Fran, you coming up? Get up here, Fran.
Oh,
All right. Thanks so much, everybody, for helping us to get to Honduras, for your prayers. We definitely felt them. We ended up having, you guys can come over by me so that I don't feel alone. We had a theme that kind of developed through this trip that we didn't intend on having, and the theme was the enemy's been defeated, because he really did try to keep us down, starting with our flight being canceled and us having to find another airline with enough seats to take all of us down. And then I had 2,000 of our team dollars stolen from my bag, and we had one of our team members in the hospital for about 24 hours. But guess what? The enemy was defeated, and God did some incredible things. We saw, give God praise for that for sure. We saw about 30 kids give their life to Christ for the first time, and we saw a handful of adults as well do the same. And we had 7 people physically healed from anything from gastritis to needing stomach surgery that now no longer is necessary, to people that couldn't walking. And so incredible things that God did through the 10 people that we went. We're going to show you a video. You're going to see we went to the prison and were able to shine light in a dark place. We went to the hospital, not just for our team member, but to pray for the other sick people there as well. And we did a vacation Bible school for 3 days in one of the public schools. We had a mission seminar where we had people from different churches come who had a heart for missions. And I believe we're going to see missionaries come out of Honduras into other parts of the world. And we saw 3 people get specific nations from God put on their heart. And so excited to see what God is with that. And then we were in 4 different churches as well. So you're going to see a video. You're going to see other white faces in there. There were 10 of us from North Rock, but we met up with some missionaries down there, and they added 7 more people to our team. And it was just incredible how God put us all together. We rented a big giant house and had some of our Honduran friends stay with us. And just really cool things happened. So take a look at the video, and then these ladies are going to share their testimony with you as well. Just a little snapshot of what we were able to participate in while we were gone. I'm going to let these ladies share just the testimony of what it was like for them. This is Susan and Fran, so take it away.
Hi. There's a lot of you out there. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. If you would have told me weeks ago that I'd be going on a mission trip, I would have never thought that was going to happen. I always thought that was something that Mormons did. So I'm Mormon now. No, just kidding. When I got down there at first, I was a little frustrated by the language barrier. That was hard. But I heard God say, "Be still and know that I'm God." I didn't need to say anything. I didn't necessarily need to talk to anybody to feel the love, the hugs, and the smiles of the kids. It's a universal language. I thought that I was going down there to love on people, but what I got back was way more love than I had ever anticipated. So it was awesome. God blessed me with this experience, and I'm very thankful for it. Thank you.
It doesn't matter how many times you come up here, it's still very difficult. I want to say praise the Lord first and give him all the glory that he did in Honduras. It was a wonderful experience. It was my second time. I was so excited when I got down there and I was embraced by my sisters and my brothers that I had met before. The most exciting part was when I seen Rosalinda. She's the little girl that I prayed for last year, and it's amazing that she remembered me and she hugged all over me like it was just yesterday, and her sister as well, and I got to meet her mother. Please pray with me for her. I found that she's still needs a lot of prayer. My heart just bleeds for her. I wasn't going to go to Honduras, but God said you have to go, and I know why, and I praise him for that. All the healings that was there at the church, the very last church that we went to, had no walls. You know, just a couple little walls, but there was nothing there. And as the team gathered around together and we joined in unity in one circle, and we prayed for them that we weren't going to be defeated that night. And the adversary still tried to come up against me, knowing how my heart is so overwhelmed with God. And I had drove one of the pastor's wife's van over to her house and back, and I had given her the keys, and She said I hadn't given them to her. Her husband, the pastor, was looking for them. And I'm like, no, I really did give them to him, you know, to her. And so I went out to the van and looked in the van, and sure enough, it wasn't there. And I stood firm on my ground and said, no, the adversary is not going to defeat us. There's a purpose here, and we are going to do what God has called us here to do. And I rebuked him and casted him. And I went back and told Pastor Raphael, I did give her the keys. And sure enough, the pastor goes, I have the keys. And Pastor and I both acknowledged what was going on, and we had a silent prayer. And my prayer, too, was, you know that song, God Come Fill This Atmosphere? You know? Well, I wanted it filled so, so much. I mean, I just was praying so hard. He filled that atmosphere so wonderful, and there was so many amazing healings, and it's just awesome. I have it in my blood. I think I'm joining my sister Tiffany as a missionary, and my work will not stop here. I have too much love to give and no one to give it to, and there's so many hungry people out there, so I go where God sends me, and I just praise him, and I praise him right now. I got my mother in my church. My mother has never been in my church. Say hello to my mom. If you guys want to hear any more about Honduras, give me a holler. I got lots to tell you. It's amazing. I can't tell it all in 2 minutes, so thank you.
So we just want to thank you guys again. We couldn't have everybody share at every service, but please find one of the 10 if you want to hear more. We love to talk about it, and we're ready anytime you say we want to hear more. And just keep praying about going on one of the next trips. We're going to continue going to Honduras, continue our relationship with Pastor Raphael and with the La Cosecha Church there. So there will be other opportunities. So just be praying about what that looks like for you. But thank you for sending and going with us.
Right on. All right, one more thing we're going to do. We have our opportunity now to give our tithes and offerings, and we have one of our council members that's going to come up and lead us in that, Brian Primrose. And just before he comes up, you know, one of the things that most of us know, if you've been here the last few weeks, you know our church is going through a transition. We've been going through transition, and you know the word transition in itself is a good thing, especially if God's behind it. It's you're transitioning, you're moving. There's movement, and anytime there's transition, it means that there's room for something new. And God is a God of the new. And although it's not easy to go through transition, I know Amy and I, man, this has been probably the hardest time in our lives to have to say, you know, we just feel like it's our time to move on. It's so difficult for us, but we know that it opens the opportunity for what God wants to do new. Transition isn't always easy. It's not fun, but it's always essential. It's always important that it happens. And a lot of times during transitions, there, you know, especially within the church and within nonprofit organizations, it can make it difficult financially. It's hard because when transition happens, that means sometimes people are a little leery on giving, and sometimes will move on as well. And so our church is in a place right now where the finances aren't at the best place. And it's important that during these times that we all come together and we recognize, you know what, this is God's church. This is where he has placed us. And we want to be a part of what God is doing with all of that. And so I know Amy and I, we're committed to just to continue as long as we're here to continue in that process of just giving faithfully, doing what God has called us to do. And so just recently, we've had to make quite a few cuts here in the church budget-wise. And some of that has even been the salaries of those who work here at the church. And so I don't say that at all to be like, oh, we just need your money. But really, it's just great opportunity right now as a church that we just be obedient in what God is calling us to do when it comes to giving. Because listen, God resources the church, but you are his resource for the church. Every one of us, we are the resource. We are his we are the way that God resources the church is that we're faithful in honoring him with our wealth. And so, Brian, come on up here. He's going to lead us in this part of the offering, and then I'm going to come up. I have a short and sweet message, so we'll be out of here at the same time. But first, Brian has a really great word from God for us. And by the way, Brian Primrose, he has been a part of our church now the whole time I've been here. And this guy is the real deal. He does stuff behind the scenes that none of us even know about. I wish every church had a Brian Primrose. You are a blessed scene to our church. So thank you for sharing a little bit with us this morning.
Thanks, Jeremy. That's rough. Jeremy shared a little bit about where our finances are, and it's tough, but it's funny how we've looked at this sometimes people want to look at it as a business. And it's not a business. You know, in a business, you can kind of retool your message. You can kind of tweak it a little bit, you can make it sound a little bit better, you can do something more with it, and maybe that'll help money come in. But we don't want that. We want it to be about God and what he's doing in the lives of the people here, what he's doing in the lives of the church, what he's doing and what he did on the cross for us. That's all it's about. Amen. That's it. So I want to share a couple of verses with you that I think will kind of rephrase them. One is 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I want you guys to keep that in mind. You just heard about some of the unseen stuff that happens. And I'm going to wrap things up at the end here with things that I've seen in this church. They're unseen things that you don't see, but God's definitely dealing with people and talking with people through the things that you do and the things that you say. The other verse that I've got is in 1 Kings, and I need to set it up a little bit because Elijah the prophet, there was no rain in Israel, and he was instructed to go meet this woman. And I'm going to jump in at verse 17. It got blown over a page. I'm going to jump in at verse 10. "So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?' As she was going to get it, he called, 'And bring me, please, a piece of bread.' 'As surely as the Lord your God lives,' she replied, 'I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die.' Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land.'" They go on a little further. Her son gets sick. And this is the interesting thing to me that I'm going to bring into this in a second here. It says, the Lord heard Elijah's cry. The boy had died. And the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, 'Look, your son is alive.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth.'" I don't get that. How come she didn't know he was a man of God before? I mean, my pantry's full. That guy said something, and I keep doing this, and you know what? The oil didn't run out. The flour didn't run out. But there's a process that happened there. There's that mustard seed of faith, I think, that started to blossom. And when that next miracle happened for her, that's when she's like, "Wow, you're the real deal, man. I get it now. I get it." So I want to share three things that really kind of jump out at me in this church. One is our friend Tiffany that spent some time in a Honduran prison beforehand. I think it was earlier this year, but I think she would also say that you go in and you think you're going to minister to people, and God actually uses the people that are there to minister to you. You just heard that. Those are things unseen. But you know what? She was obedient to walk into a prison in the murder capital of the world and say, "God, I hear you. I'm walking. I'm doing it." Look what happens. It's amazing. There's another young lady in our church that was having a rough time. This is one of those things that I look at and I go, I'd have called it a coincidence 5, 6, 7 years ago. That's a coincidence. Two unrelated people shared the same verse with her. How's that happen? There's 31,000 plus verses in the Bible, and two unrelated people share the same verse. I'm not a statistician, but you know, that's pretty crazy odds. That's not the people talking. That's God talking. That's things that are unseen. And it was for that young lady. It was also for the people that were obedient to do it, because validated some things for them. It's amazing. Last one is about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago. There's a gentleman sitting in the back row. And he'd been here on Friday night, and he was drunk. And he'd been here on Saturday night, and he was drunk. And he'd been here both services on Sunday, and he was drunk. But as much as the enemy was trying to pull him into his addiction, he was obedient, because there's something different about this place. He walked in. And it gets me a little emotional. He walked in and said, okay, I don't know what this is, but I'm gonna embrace it. So that's why I'm here at this church. That's why I invest my tithes in this church. That's why I invest my time in this church. Because God's here. God's working through the people that are here. So my call to you is to say, will you join with us? Will you partner with us? Will you invest your tithes? Will you invest your time? Will you invest the love that you have in the people that are coming through this door? The people that are here now? And the people that are going to come through that door? That's my plea to you. That's my plea to you guys. Let me pray for the offering. Father God, I thank you for the people that are here right now, God. The people that you're going to bring through those doors, Father. And the unseen things that you do through people's lives, through their actions, when they're obedient to you, Father, to respond to what you have for them. Sometimes we don't even know what that voice is, we just know. Father, that's you imprinted on our heart. I pray that you would steal our hearts to the things of this world, make them just fall off us like nothing. But to you and the things that are of you, God, I pray that you would make our hearts like wax, like clay, make us pliable and be responsive to you, Father. I pray that you'll guide us in the stewardship of the funds that you have and that you're giving us, Lord. I pray that our message and our words would be true, Father, and that you would grow us in you. Grow us as a community, Father. Grow us as individuals. And grow us as a church, Lord. You know, we're sad about the changes with Jeremy. But we're also excited about the things that you have for this church. It's a weird place, Father. We love you, Lord. And we need you. And I pray that we would always hear your voice, God. I ask it all in your name. Amen.
What a good message, huh? Really good message. So this weekend, you get two messages. I hope you're okay with that. It's a really good thing. My message is short and sweet. And I think we're here. Let's make the most of our time together. And that's what we're doing this morning. I want to share with you something that God's put on my heart. I've really been asking him, God, what do you want me to share as these last couple weekends that we're here, last few weekends that we're here. And it's interesting because he doesn't really give me anything brand new. He just reminds me of things we've been talking about for 4 years. And I think, you know, I just know that God puts things in the Bible multiple times because he knows us, doesn't he? He knows that if he just says it once, we'll probably just pass on over it. But he wants to continuously remind us of stuff, doesn't he? And that's how he does things, because he wants us to hear it until we begin to get it. Does that make sense to everybody? And so, you know, it's like I married my wife, and on our wedding day, I said, I love you. And I didn't just say it then, and now I'm good for the next 20 years. I tell her I love her every chance I get. Every day since we've been married, maybe I've missed one. I hope I haven't. But almost every day, if not every day since we've been married, I tell my wife, I love you. The reason I do that is I want her to be reminded every day of my love for her. And that's why God continuously tells us, continuously reminds us of his love, continuously reminds us of the truths that we see in his word, because he wants us to get it. And so it's no surprise to me that God would say, you know what? It may seem redundant as you get up there and share this weekend, because you're going to be saying a lot of the same things you've said over these last 4 years, but do it anyways, because I want people to really get it. There's a huge difference between what we have up here and what we have in here. Huge difference. And it's one thing just to know it. It's another thing to actually know it, to where when it's in here, it begins to shape our lives and begins to make a difference in our lives. So I want to share with you something this weekend. I brought this because it's been a while since I've seen one of these. Do you guys recognize this thing? It's a paper map. Yes, these used to exist. Can you believe this? It actually has the roads on there. I tried to find the blue dot saying where we're at, and I could not find it anywhere. It's crazy, but this thing, I remember I used to use this thing back when I was in college. I went out to Los Angeles, and I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't even have a computer. I didn't even know what GPS meant. I don't even know if it existed back then, but I remember I grabbed one of these things, and I set out on the Los Angeles freeways with a map. Now, talk about dangerous, right? Now, today, they're like, you can't use your mobile device. I'm like, dude, I used to steer with my knee. Let me use my device. I still got my other hand on the wheel. But they'll stop you for that. Back then, you know, and then trying to fold this thing up. Do you guys remember that? Nearly impossible, right? Trying to fold it up the right way. But I remember one instance after I'd been out in Los Angeles, just for a couple weeks, I'd gone to church. I went to check out this church. And on the way back, it was pretty late at night. I'm driving back, and I get so lost. I mean, with this map, I could not figure out where I was, and so I pull over. And the only good thing about being lost was I got lost next to an In-N-Out burger. How many of you have ever had In-N-Out burger? You know what I'm talking about? So I had my first 4x4 that night, which I don't recommend. You'll be sick after that. It's 4 patties, 4 cheese, 4 times at the restroom that night. It's 4 times the amazingness, Dustin. You could do a 4x4. You've done it, right? Oh, yeah, nothing for you. But I remember I'm sitting there eating my burger, and I'm saying, God, please help me out here. I have no idea where I'm at. I've heard the stories about Los Angeles, how crazy it is. The people are crazy. There's shootings all the time, and I'm just sitting there. I'm a scared little Nebraska kid who's moved to Los Angeles, to the big city. And I remember it's such a helpless feeling of being lost in this massive place, not knowing where you're going. It's dark outside. There's fear involved. I'm all alone. It's a lonely feeling to feel that way, to feel lost and scared. And I also have experienced that spiritually in my life, where I'm alone, where I feel lost, where I'm scared. And I believe many of us, if not all of us in this room, we've experienced that. Maybe some people today are experiencing that right now, where you just feel lost. You feel alone. You feel there's fear that fills your heart. And I just believe God wants to give us a word this morning of how to get to where you're going without getting lost. Because God is so close to us. God is so near to each one of us that if we're ever lost, it's not that he's gone anywhere. It's that we've decided with our own minds that we're going to try to do this without him. And when we try to do things without him, how many of you know that we find ourselves in trouble? We find ourselves lost. We find ourselves full of fear because we don't know what's going on. When God is there with us, he's faithful, he's just, he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. And this is a good God that we've talked about for 4 years. So today I want to share five things on how to get where you're going and not get lost. Short and sweet. Here we go. Number one, Stay the course. Sounds simple. Stay the course. Stay the course. Listen, I want to share something with you that I think most of us know, but I'm not sure if we really get this. That when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, we become a new creation. But what also happens is he sets us on a new path. How many of you know that before you started living for God, you were on your own path, right? A path of craziness. I was on that path up until I was 18 years old, and the path kind of looks like this. It's like, whoa! And it's just this crazy path, and you don't know where you're going. There's no direction to your life. You know, everybody ends up somewhere in this world, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. But those few that end up somewhere on purpose say, yes, God, I know your ways are better. I know you created me, and if you created me, you know me better than I even know myself, so I surrender myself to your purpose, your plan for my life, where you want to take me. It's pride when we say, I'm just going to do my own thing, I'm going to go my own course, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That's fine. God gives you the free will to do that. But when you find yourself lost, alone, afraid, God will always be there waiting for you. Say, oh, now do you want to try my way? You want to take out your mobile device and plug in the directions that I give you so that I might take you where I want to take you, that I might take you to eternal life, to abundant life, to a place where the fruit of the Spirit's actually happening in your life, joy, peace, love, gentleness, self-control, goodness, kindness. That's where God wants to take us. And the Bible talks about staying the course. As we're on a new path, it's one of love, forgiveness, compassion, mercy, goodness. Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life. If, earlier in that passage in Psalm 23, if you allow the Lord to be your shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He leads us, he guides us in this life. So staying the course, Paul knew what this is all about. In Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14, he says this. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. He's talking about perfection. He says, I'm not even close to perfect. In fact, in Romans 7, he goes off on this tangent of how imperfect he is. I'm such a wretched man. He says, I try to do the things that I want to do, and I can't. I try to stay away from the things that I shouldn't do, and I end up doing them. I'm such a wretched, imperfect man. He realizes that. What honesty there is, right? What humility. And it's in that humility that he says this. Oh, child AB5. Go get your kid. Something's going on. Let's go back to the Bible verse. AB5, that's how we label our kids here at the church. It's a good system though, right? You want to know if your kids, something's going on, they're beating up on another kid or something. I have not achieved it. He's talking about that perfection. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He's calling you to a new path, a new way of life. Forget about what's happened in the past. Let go, because that only holds you back. But look at what is ahead, the path that I have now set you on. And don't get tired, don't get weary. I will be your strength. I will be the one to help you along the way. But my path, God says, is the path that I have you on. And my path is the best way. My way is the best way. If you'll stay on it, you'll experience the life that I came to give you. Look at what Galatians 6:9 says. It says, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So the picture here is of a worker in the field, and what happens is you plant a seed, but it doesn't grow right away. You plant a seed and you have to cultivate, you have to water it, you have to spend time on this. It says here, don't get weary during that process, because eventually there's going to be a great harvest, and that harvest is of good fruit that's happening in your life, through your life, and in the world that is around you. Stay the course. Stay the course. It's not the easiest course, but it's the most fulfilling, greatest, most rewarding course you can ever walk on. And that's the course that God sets ahead of you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That God has a course for your life, and you know what it is, but it's not always easy to stay on it, is it? The second one, and this is related to stay the course, and it's just simply don't take shortcuts. I see sin as simply taking a shortcut. It's trying to get something the wrong way. And when we get weak, we're prone to taking shortcuts. We give in to the weariness. And what happens is, here we are, we're staying the course, we're going in the direction that God has us on, but we know, as Jesus said, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, but take hold, I have overcome the world. And so we know that these things are going to happen in our lives. We know it's not going to always be easy, it's not going to always be difficult, but you know what we do? We look ahead and we see, oh, that looks tough. I don't know. When we forget the fact that it's in those times where it is difficult that God shapes us and does more in us than any other time, but we don't like it. So what do? We take shortcuts. We're going after the same thing, but we want to go at it our own way. There's a story where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and she has this issue with love. She's been married 5 times. She's with a man who she's not even married to at this time. And Jesus essentially says, you've been going to all of the wells and drinking of all of these waters, trying to find love, when all along I have this living water that if you will drink of it, you will thirst no longer. So here we have this choice in this world. We can go and find our own fountains and drink of the water, thinking that it's going to satisfy us, thinking that that's what's going to quench our thirst, when all along there's Jesus with the living water, that if you will drink of this, you will never thirst again. It's God's way, but a lot of times we want it to happen our way, so we take shortcuts. And that's, you know, sin is the lie that your way is better than God's way. It's basically playing God. We talk about this all the time at Celebrate Recovery. We play God. And until we get to that place where we realize, I'm not God and my life is unmanageable unless I surrender to Him, we're going to be lost. We're going to be fearful. We're going to be overcome and feel all alone because we're not surrendering to the plan that God has for our lives. If you look at Adam and Eve, that's what happened with them. That's how sin entered into the world. They had the choice. You can either do it my way, God says, or you can do it your way. And they chose their own way. Number 3. This is very simple, but listen carefully. Listen to the word of God. You know, Psalm 119, 105, it's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. It says this, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I mean, think about that. Just let's visualize this. You're walking through life, and isn't there such assurance when you have lamps at your feet, you know where you're going, and there's something, maybe it's arrows or something that's guiding your path and along the way. I mean, isn't that the best feeling in the world? I mean, the opposite of that is you're walking blindly and it's dark and you don't know where you're going and you're just trying to make your way and you hope you end up somewhere. The Word of God says, my Word will be that lamp to your feet. It will be a light that guides your steps. So why do we not use this more in our lives? You know, we have GPS now that takes us everywhere we want to go. And every turn Siri tells you, if you have an iPhone, Siri, I think that's who tells you. She tells you, in 1 mile, you're going to be exiting here, and you're going to make your first right. And every step along, you don't have to worry about it. You're just going, and she tells you what's next. You know, that's what this word does to us. It's why it was given to us. This is our GPS. This is God's purpose service or system. Whatever you want to call it. God's positioning system. It's right here for all of us. You know, one of the things, and I'm just being very honest and blunt with you, but one of the major things as a pastor over these 4 years, even over these 17 years of being in full-time ministry, when people come to me and they say, I feel so lost. I feel like I just don't know where God is. I don't know what's going on in my life. And I almost always ask them, listen, are you in the Word? Are you studying it? Do you have people where you come together and you grow in the Word? And do you know what this book says? And almost every single time, oh, no, I don't. It's like people just want, poof, it just to happen in our lives. When here we have this book that God has given to us that will direct our lives, that will lead us. You know, every step of our lives, every step of the way is found in here, starting with who we are, how God's created us, and where He wants us to go. It's right in here. And we come up with excuses for why we don't get into his word. And I got to be honest with you, I've yet to hear a good one. I've yet to hear a good excuse. And I've had them as well. Listen, don't get me wrong. I've had them as well. Listen, if you're not connected to the word of God, you're connected more to the world. And you're going to have troubles. It's going to be difficult. The Bible says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. If the word isn't hidden in your heart, you will sin against God because you're taking shortcuts. You're doing it your own way. And I just want so badly, I want so badly for all of us to understand how desperately God wants to connect to us through his word. And how much this word gives us strength and power in this life. If you're feeling weak and lost, pick up the roadmap that God has given all of us. It's his word. Listen carefully to his word. Listen carefully to what he wants to speak to us through his word. Number four, pay attention to signs. You know, when you're driving, there's signs, isn't there? There's stop, there's go, there's slow down, there's turn right, turn left, there's signs everywhere, there's danger ahead, there's flashing lights saying you need to slow down, there's high water, there's all of these different signs. And listen, if we pay attention to those signs, we're probably going to be okay. But when we begin to ignore those signs, that's when we find ourselves lost, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. And I think spiritually what happens is, you know, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Jesus said, I'm going away, and it's actually good that I'm going away so that I can send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to live inside of you. When you say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes his home inside of you. He lives inside of you. He begins to speak to you and lead you in your life. The Holy Spirit is described as the person that leads you into all truth. It's your counselor. It's your comforter. It's your helper. It's your guide in this life. And so, There's all these times where we are faced with things in life, and we're not sure if we're supposed to go right or left, stop, hold up, continue on. And it's then that if you will listen, and if you will see the signs that are there, you will know that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. I mean, this is something we talk about a lot. It's that you know, think of a time where you're just about to do something. And something inside of you, I just don't know if I'm supposed to do that. I don't know if I should continue on with this. That's the Holy Spirit that's wanting to guide and lead your life. There's other times where we do something, and as soon as it happens, like, oh, I should not have done that, right? I mean, am I the only one? No? And you know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of their sin. It's the Holy Spirit that's saying, put on the brakes now, or else you're going to crash and burn. You know, I've seen that in my life. I shared the last couple weeks in this decision of us feeling like it's time for us to be done at North Rock. There's so much involved in that. One of the things that's involved in that is just I've seen warning signs in my life. I know myself. I know how the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and I've heard the Holy Spirit say, listen, you need to stop. Or else you're going to crash and burn. I'm not saying that I'm any better than anyone in this room. All I'm saying is I have to listen to the Holy Spirit for guidance in my life. And as soon as I stop listening to the Holy Spirit's guidance in my life, that's when things start to go south in my life. Why would we not listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives? It's this incredible gift that God gives us. It's an incredible gift that God gives us. And then finally, number five. And this is when we talk about this all the time. And it's never travel alone. Never travel alone. I remember that night sitting in the In-N-Out parking lot. And I'm sitting there all alone. I don't know where I'm at. And I remember thinking, I wish I would have brought someone with me tonight. Then at least we could be scared together. You know, it makes a difference, doesn't it? We have each other. We can watch out for each other's backs. You know, there's this picture in Ecclesiastes where if you're alone, you have no one to cover your back. And people can attack you from behind. But then there's this picture of you're standing back to back fighting. And this person's got your back, and you're fighting together, and what a difference it makes. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10, it says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. This world is not meant to do this alone. And there's this lie that the enemy tries to get us to believe that when something's going on in your life, you just deal with it in secret. And you just handle it. Don't let people know, because then they're going to know you're not perfect. What? Come on. Seriously? Like, is that really enter into your mind of like, oh, what if people don't think I'm perfect? Listen, I got news for you. We all know you're not, all right? It's out there. Okay, we know you're not perfect. We know you're not even close to perfect. So stop the facade and let's get together and say, hey, here's how I'm not perfect. Here's how I'm broken. Let's do this together. Let's grow together. Let's let God heal together. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. Pity the man who falls and has no one there to help them up. Listen, I saved this for the last one. Because the whole purpose for community, the reason God got people together was that we share life together, and we share our struggles, we share the good times and the bad, and we do this together. Because God knows that we're not okay on our own. He's the divine matchmaker. He'll put people in your lives. He'll put you in people's lives. He knows that alone it's not good. When we try to hide our sin, when we, in our mentality, if it's, I'm gonna just take care of this on my own. I'll do this on my own, so then I'm good, and then I come back, and then I'm all right. But what happens is when we hide it, it gains power. You're only as sick as your secrets. And when you hide it, it becomes this monster that just devours your life. How many of you, be honest with me, raise your hand if it's happened in your life. I'm raising my hand right now. Raise your hand. Look around the room. It's almost all of us. So why do we try to do these things on our own? Why do we try to go at it alone? Would you stand with me as we close? I'd just like to pray together this morning before we end. Father, we see these five things up on the screen. And Lord, this is my prayer today for myself, but also for all of us today. That as Paul suffered greatly for the kingdom and had such a difficult go at it, he stayed the course because, as we see in Philippians, that he focused his eyes not on the things behind, not even on the circumstances around him, but on what lies ahead, that prize that awaits all of us. Lord, let us stay the course. Give us the strength we need. Give us the strength we need to continue on and not take shortcuts, God, that sin that can so easily ensnare each and every one of us, those strongholds that grab a hold of our lives. Lord, let us not take shortcuts. Let us continue on the path that you have, God, knowing that you know better than we do. Father, let us be people that listen more than we talk. Lord, that before we're quick to speak, Lord, we be quicker to listen. We listen carefully to what your word says, Lord. Lord, hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you, Father. Lord, make it so that we can honestly say that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a guide unto my steps, God. Let that be something we can say and actually mean and believe. I pray we'd pay attention to the signs in our lives, Lord. That we would understand that your spirit reveals these things to us, God. We not be prideful to just ignore these things and continue on the way that we're going, Lord. Let us be attentive to your presence, attentive to your voice, attentive to your prompting. And Father, let us never be alone in this journey, God. We always allow those people that you want to put in our lives to be in there, God, that we can sharpen each other, we can grow together. Lord, again, let our pride fall to the side, God, that we might be willing, God, to have accountability, to have strength, to have sponsoring, to have coaching in our lives, God. We just thank you that you are such a good God, that you are always so close to us, God. Your presence is right near us at all times, and we're grateful for that, Lord. Pray as we go today, God, that our desire would be surrendering to you. Our desire would be the path that you have given us, God. Lord, I pray for any person in here today that feels lost. God, I just pray that a couple things would happen. That first off, you would show us where you are, that you're so close. But then, God, secondly, would you show us where we are? As David said, search my heart and show me what is going on. Is there anything that's unclean? Is there anything? Is there any way that's off? Show me the ways, God, where I'm going on my own direction, God. Show me where you are, God, but also show me where I am. Where's my heart, God? I repent of my pride. I repent of trying to do things my own way, God. Bring humility back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise you, God. Well, we're going to have people up here to pray. If there's anything you want to pray about, we got people that will join with you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, come up. We would love to lead you in that. It's just so simple. Just you saying yes. We'd love to be a part of that. God bless you. Have a great week. And go on his path this week. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.